is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the entire program today, as we have another great song for you today. And we are continuing with our Saturday-only series, Why Did Jesus Die?, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, Dr. Green looks at several scriptures today, so get your Bibles out if you can and follow along. But before that, I want to remind you that any day you would like to have that day's broadcast in your own home on CD, you can do that. Just contact us, tell us the day and the date, and something about the message so we can get the right one to you. All I ask is you donate at least $5 to help us cover the cost of getting it to you. Well, right now, let's hear More Love to Theo Christ, and then the message.
More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, with Thee, more love to Thee, more love to Thee. Once earthly joy I craved,
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy precious name. Thy kingdom come. Sincerely, our Father, we pray thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lead us today as we study thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, beloved, we are in the series of sermons on the subject, Why Did Jesus Have to Die? And the devil hates this series worse than any message that any preacher could deliver anywhere. The message of the old rugged cross, the blood of Jesus, the atonement, the death of Jesus, he hates. The only message the devil can't control is the message of the shed blood. Then I said that the cross is the center of God's program. It was absolutely imperative that the Son of God be lifted up. In other words, every person from Adam down to Jesus looked forward to the cross. Every person that is born again since the day of Jesus looks back to the shed blood. The cross is the center of God's eternal program. And then Jesus, I read to you the text of the day, and I'll read it again in just a moment. And I said that Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Now, he was in the form of God, but he was made in the form of a servant. He became in the likeness of men. Now, why? So that you and I could understand and grasp that the man, Christ Jesus, died for poor, hell-deserving sinners like you and me. It's impossible for the finite mind of man to grasp an eternal God, an everlasting God, a great spiritual God that speaks worlds like this one into existence and puts the stars and the planets and the constellations in their places. But we can receive the man, Christ Jesus. And he sits today at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for you and for me. Now here's the text. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Think of that. Made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, that is the virgin birth. Took upon himself the form of a servant, making like men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most shameful, disgraceful death that any person could die in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I said, and I'll just repeat very briefly, Matthew 26:28 declares the blood of the cross, has secured for you and me, purchased for you and me, full, divine, eternal remission of all sin. Thank God. The blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 26:28 and 1 John 1:7. The blood is the ground on which all are reconciled unto God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18, and 19. We are reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Then I said that the blood, the cross, opened a new and a living way into the Holy of Holies, and we enter boldly into the Holy of Holies by the rent veil, that is to say, His flesh, thank God. It was through His riven side, His opened side, that we have the permission, and as I said, please excuse the way I state it. God knows I do it with all respect. The open side is our ticket to enter into the very presence of Almighty God, that is, through the veil, through His shed blood. Now, when I left the radio last, I said we'd spend the next broadcast discussing a verse of Scripture in 1 Peter 1:18-19, and through the blood of His cross, the spotless Lamb of God, the price of our redemption, get this now, the price of our redemption from traditional religious life was purchased. Now get that. The blood of Jesus, the shed blood of His cross, His riven side, and the nails in His hands and in His feet, purchase redemption from traditional religion. Now, what do I mean by that? Read 1 Peter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20. Listen. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, to whom did Peter speak those words? Now, listen. You go back to the very day that the Son of God came on the scene of His public ministry, and His chosen people, the people of Israel, declared and vowed that they would not have this man to reign over them. They did everything in the world they could to destroy Him, and they refused to receive him. Now, of course, I know that many of them did, but the masses, you know it as well as I know it, and the masses still do not receive Jesus, but they turned him down. When Pilate said, "Whom shall I release?" they said, "Release Barabbas." He said, "What shall I do with Jesus?" They said, "Crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on our children." Now, they said, "We'll not have this man reign over us." Now, why? Because he transgressed the traditions of the fathers. He refused to bow and stoop and scrape to the tradition of the fathers. Now, that's the reason they wouldn't accept him. They said he broke the Sabbath. They said he did this, he did that, he did the other. And because he would not bow to the laws and the rituals and to the tradition of the fathers, they crucified him. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. And the Son of God is still being crucified by religions. Now, I want you to get this. I suppose I'll spend the entire broadcast on this, the rest of it. I want to read it one more time. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot or blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you." Jesus came to his people. His own people turned him down. They refused to turn from the traditions and the traditional rituals and programs of the religion of the fathers. They refused to turn to Jesus, the new and the living way, the better covenant, that is, the blood-sprinkled way of Calvary's rugged cross. Now, here's what I'm saying, and let me make this clear so that no person will think I'm criticizing. Now, we have some religions in America that vow they're right and everybody else is going to hell. We have them. I had some material from one of them just yesterday. I opened it. I saw what it was. I sealed it. I stamped it. I sent it back. I didn't keep it. And I wrote a note and I said, "Gentlemen, if you love God, stop wasting God's money sending this to me." Now, I meant that and I did it in love. I don't want anybody to send me the kind of stuff that they sent me. Now, I say this tenderly. I'm not mad with anybody. I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to go to hell, neither does Jesus. Now, there are some people in America that dogmatically affirm that they're right and everybody else going to hell. You've never heard me say that. But I say the Bible's right and everybody else on earth is wrong. When I say, "Preacher, maybe that people don't interpret the Word of God like you do." Listen, listen. I had a letter today from a gentleman on the West Coast. He listens to the Portland, Oregon station, PDQ. I believe it's WPDQ. He listens out in Portland, Oregon, and he wrote me a letter, and he sent a very, very nice offering, as large an offering as we ever receive for the Gospel Hour. I don't think we received over a half dozen as large or larger in the last 10 years. He sent a nice offering for the Gospel Hour, a little less than $100, and I appreciate it from the depths of my heart and the depths of my soul. Now, my wife said, "Here's a letter from a dear gentleman that has never seen you. He's never met you. He's never shook hands with you. He doesn't know you. But he sends almost $100 to help keep the Gospel Hour on his local station." Now then, my wife said, "Surely God must be in the program. If not, why would this dear man who has never met you, never seen you, doesn't know you, why would he send almost $100 to help out with the ministry?" Well, now that's it. I said to my wife that God's Holy Spirit spoke to the dear man's heart. And God's Holy Spirit is in the program. God knows, and I know, and if I drop dead in the next 60 seconds, among the many things I don't know, I know that I'm washed in the blood, I possess the Holy Spirit, and I know that God put me in the ministry, and I know that God put me on the radio. Now, I know that, and the Holy Spirit witnessed with that dear brother and witnesses with thousands of you across the nation, up and down the countryside, to send in your gifts. Now, why am I saying that, beloved? I said that I have not come today to announce to you that everybody that doesn't believe exactly like I believe is going to hell. But I'll say this. Everybody that doesn't accept the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ will wake up in hell. You can't go to heaven and bypass the cross. You can't go to heaven and bypass the blood. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how conscientious, how sincere, and how dedicated to religion you are. You can't go to heaven unless you are washed in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Hebrews 9:22. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Peter 1:18, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Now then, the blood of His cross saves us from traditional religion. Now let me use one illustration. Let me use a Bible illustration. Saul of Tarsus was a conscientious, dedicated religionist. He was a true, I wish I had the adjectives to describe him. Saul was a person who lived after the straightest sect of the Pharisees. I made this statement once before. Today, if Paul lived today, he'd be called a religious fanatic. He said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all the glory of God. Now, this man, Saul of Tarsus, was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was strict in his religion, but he was going to hell. He consented to the death of Stephen, God's first deacon. The young men laid their coats at his feet while they stoned Stephen. They killed him. Now then, Saul of Tarsus was traveling to Damascus with a pocket full of letters to arrest Christians, women and children and men, and to bring them to Jerusalem, put them in jail. All right. Now, while he was traveling, he was convicted. He fell down. He heard a voice. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou? And the voice said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. Now, don't you ever forget that Saul of Tarsus had heard that name before. And he knew that that man Jesus was nailed to a cross. And he knew that that man Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And he knew that that man Jesus declared that his death on the cross was a necessity for the remission of sins. I'm not too sure. I wouldn't be at all surprised. I have no scripture to back it up. But I suspect Nicodemus and Saul knew each other. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if those fellows didn't know each other. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Saul didn't see the change in Nicodemus after he met Jesus and was born again. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Listen. Saul of Tarsus was willing to shed blood to defend the tradition of his fathers. But when Saul of Tarsus met the Christ of the old rugged cross, when Saul of Tarsus stopped long enough to let the Son of God speak to him, Saul of Tarsus immediately fell on his face and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he went into the city. He was instructed. He was saved. He was baptized. And he went down to the synagogue. And he started a revival. And he preached on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, listen. The only thing that will change a man from the tradition of his fathers to a born-again child of God is the cross. You can argue with religionists until you're blue in the face, and you'll never change one. The only thing that'll ever change a religionist into a believer is the cross. Now, you just remember that. I could call some names on the radio right now. I know some people up and down the country where I've been in revivals and across this country. I know some people that have been converted from cults and isms and religions, but not because I set about to prove that they were going to hell and I was going to heaven, or to prove that they were heretics and I was a believer, but I just preached the cross, the cross, the cross, the blood, the blood, the blood, the cross and the blood. That's all. I know a dear minister who sat by the bedside of a man that it looked like was absolutely impossible. It looked like his case was hopeless, and it looked like that it was absolutely impossible to win that man to Jesus. And he talked and talked and pled and pled and talked and pled some more. And then he decided that he'd just visit the man, read the Word of God. So he told me, he said, I sat by the bed, read the Word of God, read it the next day. I visited this man. He said, I stayed an hour and a half. Didn't do a thing in the world but read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Go back and read it again. Read these verses. Read them again. Read and read and read and read. And bless your heart, through the reading of the Word of God, that man was born again. Listen, you can argue religion till you're blue in the face. You can argue that you're right and the rest of the world's wrong until you're blue in the face. You can't change people by arguing that you're right and they're wrong. The only thing that'll change a false religionist and a man that's following a cult and an ism and a schism and a spasm that's of the devil and the tradition of the fathers and the tradition of men and the program of men and the religion of men, the only thing that'll change them is the cross. That's all. Paul said that you people were redeemed from the tradition of your fathers by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. Before God saved me, I was a member of a Baptist church. I joined the Baptist church when I was 13 years old because my dad was about to put me in the reformatory, and I joined the church to try to fool poor daddy and make him think that I was going to be a better boy. Now, that's fact. That's an honest confession. 13, I joined the church, and I was a church member for several years, going to hell, drinking liquor, cussing, gambling, living like the devil. I was a church member. I was a Baptist. The only reason I was a Baptist was because my daddy belonged to the Baptist church. If my daddy had been a Methodist, I would have joined the Methodist church. If he'd have been a Presbyterian, I would have joined the Presbyterian. If he'd have been a Holiness, I would have joined the Holiness. If he'd have been a Catholic, no doubt I would have joined the Catholic. If he'd have been a Lutheran, no doubt I would have joined the Lutheran. The only reason in the world I joined the Baptist church was because my daddy belonged to it. My mother belonged to it. My sister belonged to it. That's the only reason. Listen, I say this tenderly. God knows my heart. I'm not criticizing. I'm not fussing. But the only reason some of you precious people listening to me, the only reason you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Lutheran or an Episcopalian or some other, it's simply because your people, your relatives, you married into it. See? Now let me tell you something. The only thing that'll ever change is the cross. Now I thank God that there are saved Baptists and Methodists, and there's saved Holiness, and there's saved Lutherans. Now, there are saved people in every religion that believes in the shed blood and the blood atonement and the cross. But, beloved, I don't care what religion you belong to, I don't care what church you belong to, and I don't care what religion you belong to, and I don't care what kind of rituals you've gone through, and I don't care what you believe. If you're not covered by the blood of Jesus' cross, you're lost. Now, that's all there is to it. Without the blood, there's no remission. Without the blood, there's no salvation. Without the blood, there is no going to heaven for anybody. It's the blood. It's the cross. The only thing that'll change a religionist and make a believer out of them is the cross. Heavenly Father, jar and shake dear people today into realizing that church membership and religion will never save any man. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help people to realize and recognize this solemn Bible fact. Save the soul that's nearest hell now, and we'll give you the praise. Save many precious souls in the great unseen radio audience. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green again, and before we close today, I want to remind you again that we are winding down our gift offer GG, as in green. I will not talk about it after this week, but you may order it several weeks in the future. Just write down the information today so that you won't forget it. We'll be happy to honor your request for Offer G for at least the next month. But don't forget to do it. Now, Gift Offer G is in honor of Mother's Day coming up very soon. And I know we all want to honor our mothers, and I'm trying to do that with this gift offer. It contains three items: a soul-winning book, a song about mothers, and a book by my mother, Answering Questions from the Bible. And all of this is available in Gift Offer G, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can. If the Lord lays it on your heart to send $100, I hope you'll do that. Pray about it. Ask the Lord's guidance and do as He directs. But if you will ask for Gift Offer G and enclose a donation of at least $10, then I'm going to send you first 5 copies of our soul-winning booklet, Love is What the World Needs. This booklet has to be gotten into the hands of sinners everywhere so they will learn about the love of Christ. And I know that you want to teach others about Christ. This is a great way to do so. I also urge you to order 20, 50, 100 copies, however many you can use after you see these. Then we have the song, Mother's Song, by Michael Ellis. It's written by Mike for his mother, and it's a very, very beautiful song. Finally, Bible Questions Asked Most by my mother, a hardback book, 160 pages long. There's about 160 to 170 questions that are answered in this book. You will learn a lot as you read my mom's answers from the Bible. So, to get all of this, just ask for Gift Offer G and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.